Welcome to What's My Thesis. I'm Javier Proenza, and today my guest is Cynthia Luján. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
You just had a show at Norco, what is it?
Norco Community College.
Nice.
Yeah, it's part of the Riverside Community Colleges, I believe. An artist that you recently interviewed, I think, was part of the podcast too.
Which one?
Their last name is Victor. I can't remember their first name.
Oh, Christina.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, you know what? She did do a show there. She did the Grief and Color show.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I went to check out the closing reception for that too.
Oh, mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I like. She's funny because she's Cuban and we're from the same era of Miami, and it like feels like I've known her my whole life, but just met her podcasting like maybe 2 years ago.
Oh, cool.
It speaks to the cultural things that you maybe like overlook when you're a kid. You're like, oh, I'm from Miami, but then you're like, oh no, I'm from Miami.
Yeah.
Did you grow up out here?
I did, here in 562 area, for sure.
What's 562? Is that an area code?
Area code, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So like Southeast LA, South Bay, Long Beach.
Okay.
But yeah, I grew up in Norwalk, California.
Oh, so. Norwalk. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. What was it like growing up there? How did you get into art? Where are those roots? Let's get that origin story.
Sure. Origin story.
Yeah, yeah.
Started off in high school, definitely. I had a really supportive group of high school teachers that were supporting me in my art practice. And, you know, before this, I wanted to be a nurse and go into medicine.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, and what? I feel like you would have very good bedside manner.
And or be a lawyer, which is very different. I still get the inclination to do that.
So you're part cutthroat and part nurturing?
100%. That's basically both sides to the coin for sure.
Yeah, because I can say, like you were saying that you were soft-spoken when we were setting up the mics. And I was like, and yeah. Actually just sitting here and listening to your voice, I'm like, oh, it's very soothing.
People always say that.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
So I'm not just making shit up
no,
to flatter you.
I should totally become a voice actor. Then.
You should. That you do have a very good voice. Okay, so then in high school, what kind of were you the kid that did cartoons? Were you the kid that did commissions for friends? Like what was your specific like interest?
Photographer.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually started off in photo at Cal State Long Beach and
okay.
then transitioned to painting. And yeah, I still to this day take a lot of photos and consider it part of my art practice, but more of like the prelimination aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the stuff you have in the show is a lot of works on paper. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably 65-75% of it's works on paper and then works on panel.
Oh, nice. I started
acrylic.
Working on panel too, and I love it now.
I love working on paper and panel. I don't like the teeth of canvas. For these, I just went rogue and just, you know, gessoed to the edge of like where a border would be.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like really loose with it. I'm like, you know what? Let's do this.
So before we get into what the content, what the conceptual stuff that you're doing in the show. So as a kid, I'm sorry, I didn't quite get what was the first intro to art?
Definitely photography.
Okay, sorry. Never mind. You did say that.
I started taking photos of some of my friends who were writers, and also like was in yearbook and took all the photos, like candid photos of all the staff.
Nice.
In black and white. I was like photo editor. So that was kind of like inception, I guess. And then
did you ever get into color in college?
Like painting or
no,
or
color
just,
photography.
Or
was it mostly digital by
the
time?
It was all digital by then.
Yeah. That's not as fun.
But I learned, you know, like 35 millimeter medium format, large format.
Yeah, yeah.
And printed large format at Cal State too. So familiar with that, but that was more of like in college for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we did black and white in high school, but then when I got to college, that's when that's when I fell in love with something that immediately got like just dissipated, which was printing color on RC paper with the RC machine. And I just miss that. And like, I miss color correcting in vivo instead of having to be like on a computer and stuff like that. So I totally, I feel like you were denied something by not having access to the color. That sucks.
100%. I mean, I definitely printed test prints in color, and we saw the process of a demo to like color correct, but never
got to do it.
Dove into it. Yeah.
I got so good at it.
And that's actually why I ended up moving and shifting from photo as a major into painting, is because I did not want to be on a computer 24/7. And
this is why I ask about the art origins. That's exactly what happened to me.
It's totally true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and computers are so expensive, and digital cameras are much more expensive that, like, because you have to buy an expensive body and the lens instead of just like some simple thing. So then when you started to make the transition, so do you still feel like you think in a very photographic sense?
Oh yeah, okay. Absolutely. And I try to source all of my content imagery on my own. Mm-hmm. Especially with all these portraits, I take all the photos of my friends and subjects. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you paint from reference?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Usually 50 millimeter.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So portraits. 50 millimeter. What's it called? The lens is 50 millimeter. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I was like, wait, that's actually a pretty small piece.
Yeah.
Small square. Go ahead.
It's like restrictive because you have to kind of really get up to your subject or
yeah.
if you want to have them in full frame, you know. So
you don't have the 0.5 like on the iPhone.
No,
you
can, like, there's too much warping and shift of like,
bad news is that camera, right, the middle camera right there is going to have a lot of warping.
For sure. I mean, you do what you can with what you have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then so thematically, when did you start? So I appreciate the pragmatic reasoning behind it, but there's probably also, you're more interested in one thing now than the other thing, right? So like, what was it that started to draw you into the actual extra step of making your photographs, drawings and paintings?
So I definitely don't exhibit the photographs. Mm-hmm. I hardly even show them to anyone. And I like that aspect of it. I feel like that time with my subject or whom I'm making a portrait of is really intimate. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, you end up seeing the final piece and the result, but really it's something I don't share really. Mm-hmm. And so making that final piece is definitely, it was pretty cool. Last Thursday we had our open reception at Norco, and I was able to talk a lot about the series, and it's really like an exploration of color, exploration of like energy, exploration of like the perception of seeing others, of being mm-hmm. seen.
Which is interesting to start that off through a lens, right? Because a mm-hmm. lot, especially now in the contemporary life experience, quotidian life, I love saying that.
I love that word too.
But like, it's almost mm-hmm. like photography. You know, like when I was a kid, there were a lot of prints around, and now everything is on screens, but the lens is still a really important thing because mm-hmm. we're looking at pretty much everybody's life through a lens.
And
right?
It's a filter. It's, it has bias. It has, you know, a specific angle, figuratively and literally, that you're looking through the world or looking at the world through.
So you're doing portraiture?
Yeah. It's one facet of what I
but
do
in the current show. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess then the broader question would be, how do you pick your subject matter and what you document with your camera?
For that series specifically, I was looking at folks who ride on wheels through public spaces or travel through public spaces through alternative modes of mobility than a car. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, roller skaters, cyclists, bicyclists, scooterers, bladers, skateboarders.
There's still bladers around?
I'm a blader.
Oh, I didn't mean it as an insult. I just thought it had...
Roller skate is so hard. Yeah, like, roller skating I can't do it.
Yeah, the trucks, man, they throw you off because they start to... The skates go wherever they want if you're not like balancing yourself on them correctly.
Yeah, so rollerblading's a little bit easier for me.
Uh-huh. So then, the subject matter is based on you're picking rollerblading, all of that, and...
A lot of friends, a couple of friends from this group... in Santa Ana called Twig that we all meet up and fix our bikes or go on bike rides or hang out together and like learn more about bikes and biking and creating community.
Is there a big overlap between artists and that community?
Yeah.
So a lot of them are artists.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. And we have like a zine out that went out last year and working on the second one this year.
What's it called?
The last one was called Taking the Lane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you also did a public thing, a public works thing. So it seems like you have like a last week. So it seems like you have a contingent of people that are active community support that you interact with, but I don't recognize any of them. So it always reminds me how big the art world is.
Yeah, well, you know, I was,
and actually the fact that you know Christina is, or that you are aware of Christina, is such a like outside of my general circle crossover. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I just recently met her. So, I'm not too acquainted with her myself.
I mean, I basically know her about as much as you do, but it just feels like I've known her a while.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. As far as like the community spaces that I, belong to and, I have the privilege of belonging to, right? Cause it's like, it's one thing to like go somewhere, but it's another thing to like feel like you're a part of it and included, are kind of,
that's a very good point.
Are adjacent, but not necessarily like the main center of it. And I really made that like conscious decision, maybe like, I don't know, 2018-ish, 17, because I just felt like the art world was really like gallery and sell. And, you know, sales are the only way you can make it. And I'm just like, man, this seems really like we're all like pitting against each other. And I don't know. I was like, I think there's another way. And I really like working in community. Mm-hmm. I've been volunteering for this organization called Santa Ana Active Streets, and have been, going to events and organizing and volunteering at events too. We just had a community bike ride during the rain, nice. Rain or shine on Saturday, and went to a urban farm to go learn about composting, and then rode back together. And I don't know. I wanted to focus more on like things outside of just creating for like exhibit and collection and maybe museum collection. I kind of tend to think that museums are mausoleums and, you know,
oh
things,
my God, you just quoted, what's his name? Tommaso Marinetti one of the futurists. He said exactly that like museums are mausoleums. He was talking about Italian art that was like Christian and old during the fascist period in Italy, but it's a fair, not everything he said was crazy.
And, you know, I do believe in preservation of culture and preservation of ideas and values and history, and I'm not like anti, you know, archivist.
If anything,
I'm quite the opposite. I don't know. I like public art. I do a lot of public art. I like working in community. I think really the
do you do like requests for qualifications and stuff like that?
Sometimes. Most of it has been like I've supported or volunteered as an artist assistant. That's kind of led to things. I've like participated in like art walks and stuff, and then those kind of led to like opportunities.
The one in Long Beach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then like just working on the ground, like, you know, like in Santa Ana, that crosswalk project, it's 2 years in the making. Like 2 years ago, there was an event where it was a traffic safety fair, and folks were asked what they would want to see in the community as far as like different things that were pitched to them at that event, and a crosswalk was one of them. So, you know, I'd been volunteering there for a while and had pitched some artwork. It went through some feedback and then redone. And yeah, the installation was this last Wednesday. I forget. I don't know. Last week.
was that you headed up the project, or was it collaborative, or?
I designed the crosswalk.
You designed the crosswalk.
And it was thermoplastic installed. So it's like plastic that's like heated into the asphalt.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
What's the significance of that? Is it longer lasting?
It's longer lasting.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's
and not less labor intensive to my body.
Well, we'll always support cutting corners on this podcast. No, I'm kidding. That's not what I meant. It's working smart, not hard.
Yeah. It's just a different process.
Yeah. Well, cool. And then so Did you have you texted me you had a specific topic that you wanted to discuss? Is that or we can, or if you want to veer off from that, that's okay too.
I'm cool with veering off. Okay. But that was just general stuff. Like,
so what was it? I forgot too.
But basically, like, you know, most of my work deals with public spaces.
Okay.
I've been revisiting this portraiture series because maybe 10 years ago I did this portrait of a skater. And I was working with like social archetypes. So like, you know, the skater, the gamer, the guitarist, the you know what you were saying about like earlier, like in high school, which one were those are kind of like archetypes, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Characters in a way. And I started the series Traces, kind of doing portraits of people where you almost could insert yourself or insert someone you knew into it. And those are actually on view also with the larger portraits to kind of give it more context. But that one skater portrait that I did, I was like, all right, I'm going to dive more into specifically people in public spaces. And I asked people to really wear what they wanted to wear and how like they felt the most comfortable in like being represented and representing themselves and being seen. And like whether that means like your hair clips, rings, necklaces, socks, you know, shoelace
dope
color,
ass reflective jacket,
my reflective jacket,
the only green Uggs I've ever seen.
Yeah, basically, you know, so
what shirt are you wearing under that? Just
it's
case.
My shirt actually.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm glad I asked then. That's a very cool shirt.
It's a traffic cone.
Oh, it's a street sign of a traffic cone.
Pixelated.
Cool.
Yeah. I might do another run. I don't know. I really like the black on black. I think it's cool.
How did you print those? Is that screen printing?
Two layers. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Like a fluorescent-ish orange and then the black gloss on top.
That's well executed. I see what you're saying, especially when you said that you're interested in public works, like though these are
public space.
It's public space, but also public works. But these are, you're not putting people in pajamas. You're putting them on their, like, how they get around and, you know, their form of transportation, which is also kind of a personal choice that's expressive. Interesting, you know, especially like going back to Blades.
Not always a personal choice, sometimes a personal need and necessity.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely in general, like the idea is to advocate for, you know, the most marginalized having to travel through public spaces in a way that is dangerous to them because motorists are not as caring and cognizant and empathetic and all of the above. Living in Southern California, I feel like, you know, innately we know this stuff, but so definitely representing and making portraits, and I would use the word regal portraits, which I know that sounds like I'm full of myself, but really I feel like
it's a tradition.
And it's a painting really tradition. Trying to honor people in ways they want to be seen and you know, their and all their regalness, and really centering that joy of like how we enjoy public spaces and enjoy that in community and are able to relate to each other or have like really stellar, like individual, like, you know, me time on my own outside. Like, you know, sometimes we do run into people, but also like being on wheels, you kind of do kind of bypass people a little bit. Right.
Yeah. It reminds me, the other day I was talking on the phone with my mom and I was walking and I had headphones and this woman was walking next to me and she was matching my exact pace. And I was just like, all right, I sprinted ahead. I was like, you know, like it felt like she was like eavesdropping. Although I don't know, I'm not going to, you know, project sinister intention on her, but it was just awkward, you know, where I was like, okay, I might as well just sprint. Cause it's like, she wasn't slowing down. She wasn't speeding up. She was just like,
and you were walking.
Yeah. And I was walking. So that just what reminded me is like, yeah, it's nice when you're on your own trajectory, you know, cause even I remember when I used to go skateboarding with my friend and he's like 6'4" and I'm 5'8".
So he's going way faster than you, right?
It's like leaving me in the dust the whole time. But yeah, it is also interesting how wheels that are like self propel their like personal, they're tied
motorized.
To, yeah, they're tied to your internal engine of what your engine is getting, you know, like he would be like a V8 and I'm like, you know, a four banger.
Yeah. Your inertia. I think that's what it's called. Right?
Yeah. And then we would look for the bearings that could like spin the most and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So
I tried learning how to skateboard when I was like, 12? Yeah. Bought a skateboard. That thing was so heavy. I'm like, who sells this to a beginner? Like, man, it was, yeah, I still wish I knew how to skateboard. I feel like it looks so fun. And like, just to be that aware of like your body and how balanced you are and just being able to catch yourself. Well, like, I think it's so cool. Yeah.
I taped with the last guest. His episode came out a week. It hasn't come out yet, but whatever. I recorded on Saturday with my friend Alex. And we went afterwards to watch, like, to his house. And we were just watching, like, skateboarding.
Nice.
And I was like, and there was a dude there that was an announcer, and he was like older than me. And I was like, when I was a kid, that didn't exist. Like statesmen that had like gray hair, skateboarders. So just that whole scene is funny. And I just think it's hilarious that we were like hanging out, having beers, watching like,
like old times basically. Right.
Yeah. Like, well, no, the kids were like super young. They're like in their 20s. Like I was like,
no, but like you watching skaters, like, I feel like that's definitely what I used to do when I was a kid too. Yeah. So I don't know.
Did you watch a lot of skating videos and stuff?
Not videos, but my friend's skateboard. Uh-huh. Yeah. My house was kind of the spot where friends would come over and skate off the curb. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Have you ever like been the kind of person to strap on rollerblades and do crazy flips on ramps? Because I've seen people do that. And I'm like,
no.
Like, man, I feel like it's dweeb for riding a skateboard. Like, especially on quads. Yeah. I see people do stuff and I'm like, whoa.
I know their knees, man. Yeah. How are they doing that? I don't know. Man. That's wild. No, I mean, I've watched some skating, like roller skating videos for sure.
Oh, what was that?
It's my phone.
Oh, that was your phone. I was like, I was just worried it was one of my
flash on because I always have it on silent. So it's the only way I can find it.
That's cool.
It's like a, accessibility thing on there if you want to change it.
Good tip.
It's a great tip because, man, that find my phone thing does not work for me sometimes. I don't know why.
So then, we're giving tech reviews now. But
anyways.
Yeah. No, I mean, it just registered what you said and I related. I was like, yeah, sometimes it'll tell you that like your earbuds are like somewhere down the street and they're in your car. But can we get back a little bit into your sense of wanting to stay outside of the art market?
Sure.
Do you interact with like actual artist run community spaces and stuff like that, like artist run galleries? Or are you, because you, it sounded like you were actually even a step further from that and mostly interacting with maybe non artists, which I think is genius because artists can be insufferable sometimes. But how do you feel about that? And like, you know, because I mean, you're obviously in a museum, right? Like you're showing it. What is the community?
The Norco College?
Yeah, that's...
It's a gallery.
It's a gallery?
Yeah. Okay. It's a gallery.
I guess that's right.
I think I've shown at museums. I'm like, I don't keep track of my CV very well, I feel like. But yeah, I feel like I've shown at the museum at Cal State and I forget where else. But so I definitely, during school, we started a... informal Cal State Long Beach alumni called FA4 Collective Alumni Association, like a group, right? So we did a lot of projects there. That's where I feel like a lot of us learned how to navigate different spaces, negotiate, advocate for ourselves, advocate for each other, you know, boost each other up, climb the ladder together kind of thing.
Are you still tight with a lot of those people? Or
I am.
Okay. It's fine if you're not.
No, I am. But it's just, you know, tough to continue after, you know, graduating and stuff to like continue your practice on a more public level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. I definitely still want to continue that in some capacity in the future, but we just haven't, you know, had the capacity. The pandemic really like screwed up a lot of stuff.
And, yeah, a lot of stuff died after the pandemic.
After that, including people, sadly. And yeah, after that, like re-strategizing, right? Like everybody just finding their like center. But I did run a artist-led gallery space as well for about 2 years, year and a half. And curated about like 7 or 8 shows out of there.
Nice.
Loved doing that.
What was
loved
it?
Loved curating in North Long Beach.
North Long Beach.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, if I had money to blow, I would totally still do that kind of stuff. Definitely spent a lot of my savings on doing that. And I loved it. I mean, I feel like I learned how to conceptualize things a little bit more. In an abstract way where it wasn't like my work, you know what I mean? And so understanding or perceiving work or interpreting stuff. Yeah, that was unsustainable for myself.
No, I know.
And, so yeah, the like artist collective thing, the artist led gallery. And yeah, after that, I felt like, you know, I had spent enough time exerting my energy and I needed to like focus on
your own practice,
harnessing my practice and developing my themes and my concepts more and really investing my time in outside of the art world, like I mentioned. So for sure, like I'm like an advisory council member for Santa Ana Active Streets.
Active Streets. That's a cycling and
it's an active transportation advocacy group.
Active transportation would be non gas guzzling or not
alternatives to motor. To cars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like bus, metro, hybrid, electric, electric bikes. Self powered stuff, like we're saying. Yeah, and it goes deeper, right, than just like how you get somewhere. It talks about safety and access and inclusion in public spaces, which is really what I have centered my work around. It just felt like synchronicity. I had my studio in North Long Beach and simultaneously that gallery, right? And I had to leave, so I found a spot in Santa Ana and stayed there for 5 years and in the middle of that found that organization, was just like, whoa, this is the stuff that I was already making work in and like doing memorial projects to traffic collision victims, you know, and like and memorializing people and trying to center joy in that, like, which sounds contradictive. You know, bringing more awareness to like, like even just like the inconveniences of traffic collisions, but also the dehumanizing and undignified ways that like news and us as people just talk about it. Like if it's just like an accident is not, you know, an accident is like I turned around and you were there and I stepped on your foot.
Yeah.
But like collisions are preventable and, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, just working more centering that aspect into my work and yeah, you know, I still, you know, get commissioned to do projects. I still get commissioned to do artworks. So I still sell artwork as well, but it's more of like person to person level. And, you know, definitely have to put myself out there more. I probably should be doing that more and want to move more towards that. But
it's up to what you want your practice to be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Not everybody has to sell to be valid.
For sure. Yeah. And that's not like the main focus. But it's just an aspect of it. And
One of the things that I wanted to say, and because I also feel a parallel, right? Where the art scene is great, but if you live in it entirely, it can drive you insane because like it's not necessarily the real world in some ways, right? But it also does have like it just ends up being somewhat restrictive in what you can imagine if you try to conform too much into
it's making still, it work. In some ways, like a form of indentured slavery, I feel like.
Well, it's one of the most corrupt businesses in the world.
Just for like sure. How like being a basketball player or baseball player. Like, I feel like it's very much in those lines of work.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. I wouldn't disagree with that. What I find interesting, though, is that, like, I guess what I'm saying is I feel like the art world is great, but it is its own bubble. And it sounds like you're stepping outside of it, and actually,
I'm in the periphery.
You have a foot in for sure. Yeah. I don't want to be like you're an outsider artist, but it seems like you're making deliberate decisions that put you in a place where you are interacting more directly with the public that would not necessarily be at every gallery opening kind of thing. And those people appreciate art too, right? And especially, like, it sounds like what ends up happening, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're inspiring kids more directly, because, you know, there's a lot of kids at art openings, but they're usually like kids of artists that are being dragged along, right? Whereas like in this public era, you know, like some kid might see your crosswalk and mm-hmm. start thinking about stuff, whereas like they're not necessarily going to be hitting a gallery.
Yeah. You know? I'm getting chills, and I don't know if that's like, I feel seen, I guess.
Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad. Thank you. Means that I'm doing my job listening.
Yeah. Accessibility to the arts is definitely important. I feel like luckily I had guidance and, like, you know, care and supporting my practice and like getting started. But, you know, the arts are totally accessible. It is very lucrative. Like, society is lying to all of us. They actually capitalize on shit ton. Can I curse on this podcast? Cool, because I curse.
Yeah. As long as it's not in the first 30 seconds of the podcast, you're good.
Art is very lucrative. And they're just lying to us about, like, not being able to make money from it. Yeah, accessibility is super important. I also teach at a senior center and have been doing that for 6 years.
You're teaching art?
Older adults, yeah.
I've done some of my best mm-hmm. experiences and most learning experiences have been going to figure drawing thing that was, where was it? It was in Irvine. Somebody at a community center, they would just have a weekly one.
Oh, cool.
And then my mom heard about it because she's like a contemporary of theirs. And I ended up going and I was like, oh my God, these guys have such a different view of history and stuff. So it must be really awesome to be a part of that. You know, you must absorb like a sponge, a tremendous amount of perspective.
Not necessarily like in art history, but in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heck yeah. I mean, I've gotten some great advice. I'm like, man, this is like a life hack here. Like, go to your senior center. Like, and you know, I've always, since I was a kid, been more, inclined to like be friends with older people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, you know, 20-year difference, 30-year difference, like 50-year difference. I've just always, like, my dad was born 1925. I was born 1990. You do the math. Mm-hmm. And so I saw him and us witness a lot of like age discrimination. And like, since I was, I don't know, probably cognizant, realized that and was just like, this is so weird.
This is your dad, like, that is 1925?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
So people would always say he's my grandpa or whatever. And like, so, you know, I've always been inclined to like just perceive people as people and not as old or whatever other projections you give off of people who are a different age than you. Mm-hmm. Same thing with kids. I feel like I don't try to be like, oh, let me unload. Oh, nee, nee, nee. Like, I'm obviously sometimes se me sale. Like, I'm just like, okay.
You're like you're too fucking cute. I can't contain it.
Like, with cats, especially, and kittens. But like with kids, like, I try to just talk to them like they're people, and you know. But anyway, so accessibility to the arts is super important to me, and being able to share skills with you know, older women, mostly older immigrant women who live by themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe half, if not more than that, are ESL, right? Like, English as a second language. And so it's, I don't know, it's cool. I like it. They're like all my abuelitas.
Nice.
I think it's cool, and they enjoy it. I also think that it's kind of like, for them, it's like going to be alone together because mm-hmm. everyone's so like hyper-focused on what they're doing. But, and then, you know, you share a little bit, but most of the time it's not like a loud class. Like everyone's just like, you could have done this at home. Yeah, but
no mucho chisme.
Thank goodness no, because ooh, you know, they had like this anti-bullying sign up at the senior center. I was like, man, I wish they had that up in more spaces. Jeez. Like after the pandemic, I feel like people forgot how to socialize, man. Yeah, like, yeah. Dang.
Yeah, no, people got crazy after the pandemic. It's been a hard recovery, yeah. especially in art spaces, I think, you know, and I think a lot of spaces got squeezed in a really weird way. And then maybe they went a little dark
yeah,
to survive.
It's just so hard to find space now.
Yeah.
Like I got displaced from my studio in Santa Ana last June because they supposedly sold the property. We're selling the property. And it took me like 6 months to find a new spot. And
wow.
And, you know, I'm picky, right? Yeah, so yeah. I wanted certain things. I didn't want dust on my drawings. I didn't want.
I mean, that's kind of important.
I mean, it is, but you'd be surprised.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be surprised how hard it is.
And like, you know, I'm not paying like half my paycheck a month or something. Yeah. Like
you're using that for rent. No, I'm kidding. that's how life is nowadays. I was making a joke. I wasn't calling you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just hard. It's tough being an artist right now.
No, it is. Tough. It definitely is. But it seems like you have found your modality of working and your yeah. space where you're happy working, which is interesting. Because, yes. I mean, I'm trying to branch out and I'm trying, you know, for the show, for all of that, I'm interested in all the different ways that people can be an artist, right? Mm-hmm. I spent maybe a little too much time, I feel like, early on in the artist run scene. I feel like now I'm a little bit interested in, I mean, I still go to them, you know, I love Last Projects and stuff like that. And I'm still actively involved in, you know, artist curated shows and artist run spaces, but well,
the beauty of that is that you really are able to have an opportunity to have your work critiqued for feedback. Yeah. I mean, it's, otherwise, if you have the privilege of going to school, you don't realize it until after. I feel like most people that's really your opportunity. Like you're already working, like mm-hmm. it's at school. You're able to just get like qualitative feed. Usually, hopefully qualitative.
Sometimes.
There's also part of the reason why I haven't gone to grad school is because I'm just like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What if I don't like the cohort? Like, that's the main thing, I yeah, feel yeah. like. And, like, you can't control that. And I know a lot of
people that don't talk to their cohort.
Dude, you know, I think mean, that's of that the main thing. Like, yeah. I feel so grateful and privileged that throughout my whole time at Cal State Long Beach, which I stayed for 7.5 years.
No worries.
On purpose. On purpose.
I'm also
through various cohorts.
I am also a doctor of BFA art.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, like so grateful for all the interactions, feedback, you know, exchange. Like, I think that's the best part of going to school. But, and again, it's kind of I feel like the artist run spaces are an extension of that.
Yeah, it's one of the ways to find community. But that's what I'm saying. Like, what I like, you know, I've covered that a lot. But what I like is that you found your own way of making your own sort of community that caters to that need to have community and within creative spaces, but maybe is not, it sounds to me like it's not as clout chasey kind of, you know, not it, like, not that, like, I mean, I'm chasing clout. I don't want to say it as like a pejorative or anything yeah. like that, but that also drains me, you know, mm-hmm. like being involved in sort of that give and take of like, oh, you know, like it really does. So it seems like you found yeah. like a, sorry, go ahead.
I definitely think that I'm starting to create that community where like there is exchange in all these groups, like with each other. But I will say that I feel like I'm more like joining various communities and it's like similar work or similar outcomes, but yeah, it's, I wouldn't say I'm single-handedly creating that for myself.
No, yeah. And you're seeking it out.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, you know, what is it called?
It's reciprocal?
No. One second. It's semantics, right?
Yeah.
But I just wanted to clarify because like the idea that I am the genesis creator, right? And you know, I know you weren't saying that, but I wanted to clarify it.
But also, you are the genesis of your own experience,
of my work and my choices.
Life. You know, you could life. You are
lived it's life. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not I. You're the only artist I've had on here that that goes to community centers, and that's an active choice. You're right. You're not the center of it because those people would probably still be there.
Yeah,
but you, it's an interesting perspective that you have because you come off as very sincere and very much self-possessed in a sense that. You're not, I just feel like your presence, you know who you are and what you're into, you know, and not everybody, like, I think that comes possibly with experience, right? You've been at this for a while and you're getting shows in galleries, right? So it's not like you're completely out there, but it seems like, I guess what I'm saying is that it seems healthy because
because
a lot of these nichified communities, they become
insular
and gatekeepy and stuff like that. And I don't think that that's the intention, but you do end up places that are like a little waspy and they don't intend to. And for me, that's just redundant because it's like, well, it's an artist run space and it conforms to certain other.
I can relate to that as far as like running the artist led space. You know, my goal was to have, Cal State Long Beach alumni or current students, Cal State Long Beach alumni, local Long Beach artists, or like adjacent, right? Mm-hmm. And it was never to like exclude people, but you know, highlight a specific, you know, it's that weird thing of like, yeah, I won't get into it, but like,
no, but I get what you're saying.
You have to have some sort of thematic thing when it, I mean, you don't have to, but I tried to in the shows that I curated, right? And it's like, there becomes this thing of like, well, why didn't you choose these other people? It's like, well, there's a ton of like artists in the world. Like, and you can't
have all of them.
One, yeah. I'm familiar and invested in this specific artist's work and this person. So, and I'm familiar with them for various reasons, or I think maybe a couple, I wasn't like super, you know, personable with, but I was like, this work is awesome and it fits the theme. And I'm like, yo, you know, I did like a photo based show, but it was like, it had sculpture, video, resin castings, like a book of like screenshots from the internet, like fiber pieces with like wire, like electrical wire from like cords and stuff. Like, you know, it's like, it became about the content and the theme, and that's what curators do, you know, like, I don't know. But so you become kind of like exclusionary, right? But it's not about like putting people down. It's about highlighting someone. And I feel like artist run spaces can get to like the point where you start like having that elevation thing. And that for sure is like, I don't fuck with that. Like, I haven't fucked with that. And I don't want to fuck with it.
Yeah. the thing that was surprising to me when I started with the artist run scenes was how hierarchical even the artist run scene is. You know, it presents itself as very democratic and like, and accessible. And to some extent it is, but it's also very much a small club, you know, like
it's just, again, the nature of like community, right? Yeah. Like, and yeah, it's hard. I mean, belonging is not just something that magically happens. It's for multiple reasons. You have the similar values, you have similar class, that stems or, you know, sprouts the idea of values, right? Like, which is horrible most of the time. But yeah, like
I get what you're saying. And it's also hard, that element of like, if it feels like you actually get to touch and access things outside of your class, right? By virtue of your decision making process.
And then culture shock, like hardcore all the time.
But here's the reality of what I do.
Culture shock
is that despite my best efforts to have as diverse a community of guests on the show, I mean, I do seek it out, right? I do try to get people from all different backgrounds. And one of the common things that ends up happening still is that I don't have that class element of where I get to talk to people. Yeah, there are people that have harder and economic situations, right? Not everybody's at the same place, but there is something of a privilege to being an artist, where you're basically, especially if you're in an artist run context, right? Like you were mentioning, you didn't have the money to keep going.
No,
with the gallery space, like that gallery doesn't just blossom out of nothing, right? Yeah. Like people pay rent for it, however the setup is. So it's I really think that there's something instructive, especially for the Gen Z generations that listen to the show and stuff like that, about you can be an artist and not necessarily be caught up in what people in the art world think about you, And I know that
I have a lot of solace in centering that, idea and belief. And I hope that it's not leading people awry, by affirming that. I think that that's possible.
Yeah.
But
no, I mean, because a lot of people you wake up, you decide I'm an artist, right? One day it finally clicks.
It clicked for me in Tianjin, China. Yeah.
Oh, really? Tell me that story. Actually, I don't have anything that profound to say. Go.
I studied abroad in Tianjin, China, which is northeast, I think an hour away from Beijing. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 5-6 months. Last month I spent it with my aunt traveling around the South. Mm-hmm. I was the tour guide and I was the one translating with my pocketbook, Chinese to English dictionary.
You were born in the 90s. You didn't have iPhone app?
No, I was born in 1990. The cusp. And
does that make you Gen Z or millennial?
I'm a millennial. Okay.
When does Gen Z start? Do you know?
Gen Z is 93, 97.
Okay, cool.
I think.
I'm Gen X by 1 year.
Cool. Okay.
So I can really, I'm 80. I'm 10 years. Oh yeah. 10 so years
we're,
or senior.
Yeah. We're the cusp of it. Yeah. And it really, you really do straddle it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, I studied abroad. I was by myself. There wasn't a cohort. Originally,
this was after or before?
During Cal State Long Beach. During Cal State Long Beach. 2012. I applied 2013 spring. I went. Yeah. And something like that. I don't remember anymore. That's and
no one's gonna fact check you.
I was by myself, and the first month was brutal. I was like, "What did I do? Why did I come here? I'm so alone." And after the month, I was like, "Cool." The city was so and really, this is where the idea of public space, the venturing into the themes of public space and social architecture is what I coined the whole idea of what my work is about power and control and stuff. The area is really arid and it's really dusty. There's a lot of sandstorms and there's pollution and stuff too.
I just saw Dune, so I'm getting visuals from that.
But it's very gray. It's not browns.
Okay.
And I saw these construction workers or people in construction suits working on the streets, repaving the streets. And over there in that specific area, they actually do different cement blocks. Mm-hmm. So instead of having to completely dish out a whole piece of cement, you just replace a block if it's broken.
Oh, that makes sense. Or you don't have that patchy tarmac thing. Yeah.
And so, or grass growing out of it, it's okay, you just maybe dig up the stones.
It sounds a little bit cobblestoney, but
more modern tetra whatever, tessellation.
Okay.
Yeah, they're I saw them working in their construction attire and I was like, I haven't seen color in so long. and I took color theory maybe 3-5 times. Okay. If you count figurative painting, right, which I still think is color theory.
Yeah.
Especially the way that my teacher taught it. But yeah, I was like so enamored and like, I don't know, it was such a like, I don't know, what is it called? When
like a romance to it?
Like, yeah, romance to it, but just so like out of body or kind of like a trip. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was so trippy, like just seeing them and just being like, you know. And so I did a painting with like a orange ground and like, I don't know, when I was painting that, I was like tripping out. And yeah, color definitely and makes that me trip
the,
out.
That like, was the moment that you were like, okay, no, I am an artist.
And I made that painting and I had done it on my own. Nobody like prompted me. I didn't have a prompt. And, you know, like I was working by myself in the studio, shared with another artist, Umbo, who's in Germany, who I maybe might see in the summer.
Oh, okay. Shout out.
Yeah. And he thankfully shared his space with me, which I was super grateful for. And because I was oil painting in my room, which I don't oil paint anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck oils. and yeah, I just, ecstasy is the word I was looking for. I just had like an ecstasy when I like painted that painting. And I was like, felt very sure of myself that this is what I wanted to do, that yeah. I was able to do it, had the privilege to do it. And I was like, well, no matter what, this is what I'm going to continue doing and what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, definitely went through the phase of like feeling like it was too self-referential in artist working spaces. And again, no offense. And I'm very much an admirer, supporter, and yeah, like,
of artist-run spaces?
Yeah. And would love to still continue to participate in them too. But there's just something about it for me being able to run it. Like, it's just, I like the nomadic aspect of things mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm. And it's just fucking impossible to do brick and mortar.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, financially,
it's just not possible. Yeah. Like, you really need a good deal. And yeah. that's hard to come by. So, yeah. So definitely in the goal of owning my own building and you know, directing a space like that, but like really like owning the whole place, like, you know, even having like a garden and shit there, like fuck yeah. But yeah, that was kind of like the time and place where I was like, this is what I want to do. And since then, yeah, I've just been like going, like,
yeah,
I haven't stopped.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say before you teased us with the possibility of an interesting story, which I love hearing that moment, because it is there is a moment,
yeah,
where
it's
you
a click song.
There's a moment, it happens early or later or whatever, but you're like, oh fuck, I'm an artist. I put it in those terms where it's, yeah, like, oh no, like, I got this habit. but
a little bit, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like you wake up one day and then like you're just like, what now? You know, like, what do I do? And so I think that your choices are really interesting, especially because I haven't had this kind of perspective from an artist before on the show. I've done like 200 and no one's ever talked about this. So props to you for being different. But and again, I want to clarify, I love artist run spaces.
Yeah, me too.
But it's a little bit like Instagram, where like you can think that it's the whole world, and then, yeah, and then like slowly you start to realize like the artist run space is not even like a cohesive thing, right? Like, yeah, that world, there's like spaces that don't even know of each other, you know? So it's
honestly,
it's just
Naval Gallery just closed. Like,
oh, really?
They announced that they're, wow, closing. And I just learned about them because, yeah, I saw someone post about this artist's work a couple weeks ago. I went to that opening and yeah. And I was like, how cool this space and Level Ground. I was like, I don't know these people. This sounds so similar to like other parallels that I've, yeah, witnessed. And then I'm like, what? This space is closing?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Why? I just learned about you.
No, for sure. For sure. But I do think that it is healthy to have a life outside of the art world. As somebody who spent way too much time just living exclusively art, especially because this is kind of work and it's art. So I think that what you're doing is exemplary, because look, you seem very well adjusted. You seem very confident in your work, which not every artist that I talk to is. Like, it really is, instructional to hear something like that, because that, like, after getting burnt out from being in that bubble,
yeah,
I'm starting to look out for that, you know. And,
yeah,
and there's always overlaps and stuff, but like, you, it, having communities outside of art is pretty healthy, because artists are very much all caught up in the same mental traps of the that the art world kind of imposes on you at every level, right? Yeah. Like, whether you're a commercial successful artist or not, like, there's always going to be, the art world is always going to pressure you.
I mean, I think that the mediums, like, of ceramics and printmaking are really the ones that are the most self-sustainable as far as artist-run spaces adjacent to, you know, not necessarily just showing ceramics and printmaking, but, like, they were literally equipped with the community skills needed, because you share so much of your equipment and stuff, right? But, like, outside of that, like, it's really insular, it's really individualized, and you don't develop those skill sets in the studio at school. And again, like, I feel like artist-run spaces are an extension of school. It is a safe space, it is a bubble. It's not, you know, if you try to bring your tia, like, you know, sibling who has not gone to show, not grown up going to shows or, like, museums or cultural art spaces, or, you know, like they're just like, what is this? These are like random objects on the wall. And, like, you took a piece of trash and you, what, and why are you, do you have a collar on your on your neck? And, you know, just the idea of, like,
you have a collar on your neck. No, that's
one of my performances that I want to do. If anyone wants to know, let me know. But
oh, cool. I like that even more, because you weren't ragging on anybody.
No, yeah, no, you were calling yourself. That's mine.
But that, yeah, but that is, that's,
I'll come for you if you're,
yeah, that's a healthy,
my idea.
Healthy self-deprecating.
Oh, no.
Attitude.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, see, you're already reading into what the piece would be. Yeah, I haven't performed it, but I want
the
to.
Way that you talked about it, you were kind of like, oh,
dismissive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, definitely.
But it is. It's so crazy. It's such a silly thing. Art is such a silly, you know, it's essential.
Arbitrary.
It's essential and arbitrary. Like, it is, you know, like, you're going to absorb art. Even if you're not an art intense person, but that's what's so great about it. It is that frivolity of it that is, like, you know, it's like, it's a labor protest to some degree, especially if you're not making money. You're like, no, my labor for me only, you know, for me to express the things that I care about.
Yeah. Self-expression. Yeah. It ultimately is communication. And this is the part where I get really defensive when people start to be like, well, that doesn't look like your work. And I'm like, I can't stand it when people are just like projecting their boundaries, like, for what my boundaries need to be of my visual literacy. I'm just like, go fuck yourself. No. Like, you don't get to delineate for me where I start and end as far as my visual literacy and my capacity to, like, explore and experiment. And I'm like, no. And I feel very okay with being defensive about that. Like, I see it as speaking various languages. It's like, you say something in Spanish, you say something in German, you say something, you know, there's all these idioms you can't directly translate because that language has the culture, it has the meaning, the significance, the signifiers. And it's like, don't tell me that I can't express myself in a specific language versus another just because you're not used to or familiar with that language and interpreting it, because you're the one who has a limited perspective, and I'm okay in expressing or experimenting or
it's
playing
for sure
in whatever I want to do. So that's definitely one of my, like,
your pet peeves.
Just one of my, like, ooh. You're starting to go there? Like, you're on my list. Don't fuck with them. Yeah. No, but, you know, also just like, not everybody is like multilingual in that way, right? Where it's like, they have certain expectations and predictions. And I think that's the part that really gets me with, like, galleries and curators, and where it's just like, you know, they think you're unpredictable or not predictable enough or not. That's not sellable enough or not packageable enough or branded enough. And it's just kind of like, that is all the stuff that turns me off from the art world. And I will say that that's typically common, right? Like a common thing. And so that in, from its inception was just like,
not for you,
not sitting for me.
Well, but I also think it's interesting that you say that because you started in photography. And one of the things that I learned from photography is the limitations of photography. Like, photography is a very specific thing. And then there's the art there. There's the photographers that are for photographers. And then there's the artists that use photography. Right. So you start learning that. And then it's somehow, like, for me, it educated me on, like, well, this object has limitations of what it can and can't do, right? And then I started to think about what other things. So, like, now I define as a conceptual artist, because if I need to paint, I'm going to paint. If I need to do a sculpture, I'm going to sculpture. And you know, like the materials. But I think that's another overlap in terms of, like, I feel like photography. I feel like a lot of people that start off in photography and then migrate to other things are doing so because they can't express what they're trying to express in the language of photography.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that when I was doing photo and having that opportunity for feedback and critique, that a lot of the stuff that I was doing was more in, like, the magical realism content stuff.
Gregory Crutzen kind of.
I'm not too sure with that artist, but, like, that's how I would define some stuff that I was trying to do. And it was really, like, being able to process, like, personal things that had happened. But I don't think it was really recepted or well recepted. Is that the right term?
I understand what you're saying. Well, and I'm not going to correct you because I don't even know what you're trying to say.
Well taken.
Well received.
Like, I wasn't getting any, like, feedback that was just constructive or helpful. And I was just like, this feels so, like, am I going anywhere with this? Yeah, like, aimless. And I was like, that doesn't feel good. And so that was also part of the reason why I wanted to shift, is because I felt like I needed to learn another language in order to, I guess what you're saying. Like,
no, I 100% relate with everything you've just said. Yeah. Well, we're
getting
to where you have a hard out today. You have to leave. You said 12.
I think, like, 10 more minutes.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I'm basically, that's what I'm saying. So anything that I have not hit on by asking you just the right question to get out that thing that you wanted to say, am I missing anything?
I mean, I don't know. I definitely feel seen.
Okay, and, cool. Well, we don't have to go the extra 10 minutes. I'm just saying that, you know, like, if it's done, it's done. The episode is done when it's done.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely got the chills a couple times.
Cool. And hopefully I'm very excited.
Get to reflect later on what that was, because I feel like, like, this last year, you know, I was luckily part of the Sur Biennial. Shout out to Jorge Mujica and Ichiro, who jumped me into the Sur Biennial. And I don't know, like, that was really cool, because I felt like that was a point where, like, I felt like I made it as far as, like, okay, this is artist run spaces, this is community colleges, which are very much about access to the arts, this is about regional, like, Southern California. This is the inception of it was in 562, like, Norwalk, Rio Hondo Community College, like, Whittier area, and Latinx focused usually. I think it does incorporate other artists from different backgrounds, but
Ichiro does not sound Latinx.
Yeah. I don't know all of Ichiro's background, he does speak Spanish.
Okay. Well, then he may be.
I'm not sure. And you never know.
I'm not going to exclude him.
An assumption. I felt like I had made it in the sense of, like, my hierarchy of values and things that make me feel seen or make me feel affirmed, right? And it's like, those were all, like, check marks, check boxes. Boxes that were checked. I don't know. I'm really bad at idioms.
But they're charming when they come out that way.
What I wanted to say is, like, checking off boxes for me of, like, my hierarchy of values and stuff. And I don't know. I think that if I had any advice to give out to, you were saying, like, Gen Z or even Gen X getting started.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not? Like, you know,
anybody.
It's just anybody. Yeah. Like, it's really identifying what is valuable to you and finding people that share those same values. And if you don't have that opportunity, don't compromise your values, because ultimately, like, what is the purpose of doing all this stuff if you're constantly compromising what feels good to you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely what I would, some advice I would say. Mm-hmm. And I try to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's your labor, right? You do with it what you want. Yeah.
And even if that means, like, you're just making watercolors for yourself in your sketchbook and don't show anybody, like, sick. DM me and show me your watercolor sketches. Yeah,
if you're your own audience, you're still an audience.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, ultimately, what would be the purpose of making it? Like, if you don't enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, cool. I really appreciate you coming in, and you know, like I said, artist run spaces are just a part of the game, and I think that it's really good to be involved with them and then also have a foot outside of them for perspective, because they're great resources, they're amazing things, but it's like, if all you do is eat, sleep, and breathe art, it might drive you insane. Which I've stumbled upon. So, but I look forward to seeing what else you do next, because it sounds like you're a facilitator as well, which I really appreciate.
A mural
We can plug
getting it. Started mid-April, from like 14th to the 22nd, technically the 12th to the 23rd, but I'm not sure which days are really public, at Cal State Fullerton. I'm doing a mural there. I'm one of four artists, I believe, who's doing a mural, part of the Human Sciences and Sociology and Sciences, HSS, department. So that's going to be fun.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that. And then where can people find you?
Instagram at Desfigurados, DESFIGURADOS.
Disfigured.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the things that
faceless. Faceless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I hope we'll be in touch, and I'll definitely keep a track of when you have shows. I wanted to go to your thing, but I have been sick. I'm just so.
April 17th. It's a Wednesday. I'm giving a portrait workshop. This is going to be a little bit different than what I'm used to, because I'm going to have a live model, and I'm trying to get some Masonite, a heavy duty easel, and some Lennox paper to do like a full on 4x8 in front of people. But we'll see.
Painting from photos and painting it from real life is very different.
And I've done it, you know, but it's definitely been a minute. So I feel like I need to do some self-portraits to practice.
I'm going
to do some self-portraits. All right. This is good. I'm glad I said this.
No, I'm trying to do, live streams where I draw, and I'm like, oh man, I'm so rusty. I should probably do some practicing first.
I cannot do live streams.
Although I am pretty cocky, because like I drew that. I have a drawing of a cat. Aww. I drew that in like one afternoon with a deadline, and I was like so cocky about it. I was like, I know how to do it. You know, like, it's fun to have skills that you know that you don't use very often, but you know are there.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Thank you. All right. Well, and we'll be back. Oh, and you guys, don't forget to like and subscribe. Rate us on your podcasting platforms. We need the help. And we appreciate
Welcome
to the channel. Leave us comments if you have any, if I said anything that was upsetting. No.
I would like to know.
I don't want negative comments. Just say nice things to me in the comments.
Say nice things to him and me.
And we'll be back next
week. Yoroshiku onegai shimasu. Be nice to me.
Is that what that means?
in Japanese, yeah.
Cool. I should learn that. And then we'll be back next week with another guest and another topic that may or may not be art related.